First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood, good morning. It is good to be with you in this new format. It's good to be with you, my staff colleagues, this morning. It is such a joy to worship in this space. If anything at all, the coronavirus is causing us to up our technology game right now, you know? So that's a good thing. We're going to be streaming our services for the next few weeks. And now you can drink coffee and come to worship in your pajamas. So, what a deal. This has been an unsettling week for us as a world, as a nation, as a church. And I pray as you are with us in worship here and online that you will be encouraged and strengthened as you are here. And I want to say, if you are feeling sad, if you're at home, and you're feeling sad that you're not here in worship and you're missing your church family, I empathize with you. It is not the same without you here. We miss the choir, we miss the greeters, the ushers, we miss the smiling faces, but know that we are all connected through the Holy Spirit, through the love of Jesus Christ, and digitally now. So we are thinking of you. As this week has unfolded, I just was thinking about how do I respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? And how do we respond as the church of Jesus Christ? And so for the next few minutes, I have a little condensed time in the text, but I really want to share my heart as one of your pastors. And if I haven't introduced myself, my name is Joel Larson. I'm the associate pastor here if you're watching online. I just want to really share my heart and my hopes for how we as followers of Jesus will respond in this unprecedented time and how we as the church, the First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood, how we will respond. So I just really want to share my heart and some things I've been thinking about. And as I've been thinking about this, I want to acknowledge first and foremost that I don't have all the answers. And I know we as the church don't have all the answers of how we are going to go through this. But we know that together, through the help of God, through the help of the Holy Spirit, we will figure this out. We will still be the church in Hollywood. And so I want to just acknowledge that there's also some like trepidation, right? When you find this new time that we're called into. And I've been thinking about this article that I read. It was a gift that came into my email. But you know, the church in Singapore, the church in East Asia has been going through this for the last month. And there was an article that came out, 7 lessons from Singapore's churches for when the coronavirus reaches yours. And there was one pastor there, Chua Chung Kai of Covenant Evangelical Free Church. And he said, these are gospel moments. We can spread love, not fear, nor the virus. We can awaken as the church to this opportunity. And I find myself coming back to these words from Joshua 1:9, and my heart here I'm not a medical expert, I'm not giving medical advice, I am just one of your pastors, and I'm telling you where I am this morning. As I've been thinking about this new territory that we're entering into, I've been thinking about Joshua, thinking about Moses, when God met them and called Joshua. Joshua's, you know, here following in the footsteps of Moses, Israel's most exceptional leader. And he's called to take his people, God's people, into the promised land. And you can imagine the fear and trepidation that Joshua had. No way, no way am I up for this. No way can I do this, God. And then these words come to him. He needed a word from God. And it came and it said, Joshua, I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so that is a word for us, I think, as the church, that in this coronavirus climate that we are in, we take the needed precautions. We follow the advice of our medical experts. We follow the government guidelines. We seek to be wise and prudent, but we are also called as the church to be strong and not to fear. Our world still needs us to be a blessing. It still needs the church. They need the church in Singapore, they need the church in Europe, and they need the church in Hollywood, especially right now. And I will tell you how easily I shrink back from this. Just yesterday, I was asking my wife, how many rolls of toilet paper do we have left? And I went into our cupboard and I found 4.5 rolls of toilet paper. And we kind of both freaked out a little bit. And she said, you know, just for a moment, let's not fall into the scarcity and the self-preservation. Let's think about, we have 4.5 rolls of toilet paper. Our neighbors might need a roll. And Courtney, I may need a roll from you, okay? being dependent on one another. But we easily fall into this self-preservation. And as the church, we're not called to that. We're called to be a blessing. We're called to live generously. I have been so inspired in my time here as an associate pastor that our church has this identity. We have this identity of going out and reaching out to the world in crisis times. Back in World War II, after World War II, there was this group of college students who had a vision, who were inspired to go to Europe to help with the cleanup, to help those who had been affected by the war. And so they went, and one historian who wrote this 75-year history of our church, her name is Val Toms, and she said this about our church. During the crisis of war, people turned to the church for answers in record numbers. Again, this church was an innovator, a leader of movements, ready to meet new needs with fresh and vigorous programs. And I'll say fresh and vigorous ministry. This church has been that historically. So with God's strength, my heart is just to say, we do not shrink back right now in fear of being the church. We walk forward confidently, knowing God is with us. We are called to be wise and courageous and loving in our city right now. So that's the first thing that has been on my mind. The second is this idea of upping our prayer game. We're upping our technology, but the church in Singapore found that actually this inspired their prayer over the last month. They had cell groups meeting in homes, and they found a way to come together to watch the stream live. And then they said, we deliberately ended our live stream services early so that our cell groups could go out and pray over their neighborhood. And many have said they now feel a sense of responsibility for the spiritual well-being of their community. Some were even able to share the gospel with people that they met as they went out. And so one leader said, we believe in the power of prayer. For such a time as this, we need every believer to arise and seek God together for Singapore. And we need that now for the city of Hollywood. We need to gather together and pray God's blessing over the world, over our city, God's healing, and pray for the church to be strong, pray for people who are on the front lines working. This is a prophetic act, just like the ringing of church bells, summoning the faithful to action when their village or town is threatened. That's how the church in Singapore responded. And that's the opportunity we have for us. Again, this has always been something of our identity, friends. The church, our founding pastor, Henry Newell, he said, I believe that this church was born of prayer in a pastor's study. The idea of Hollywood Presbyterian Church was put on a person's heart through prayer. And so now our mission statement says we believe that we are a praying and worshiping community. And so we will pray through this. We will be dependent on prayer through this time. That is an opportunity for us. So first, that we would be a courageous church, not turned inwardly to self-preservation, but we would be prayerfully, creatively, thinking about how we can be a blessing right now to one another and to the city. And two, that we would be prayerfully dependent, upping our prayer game. And the third area on my heart is actually really about our community here. And I will admit, when I came to the scripture of honor your father and mother, I wondered, what in the world does this have to do with the coronavirus? And I wrestled with it, and then I finally realized this has a lot to do with us. And so we're going to just look at this for a few minutes. And if you would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Deuteronomy 5, 12, 16 says this, and Lord, we pray that you would bless the words of my mouth, bless your scripture, bless the meditation of our hearts as we listen to your word, God, our rock and our redeemer. Let's hear God's word together. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, so that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God. So we will remember that these words that the people are hearing were originally given in Exodus 20 at Mount Horeb. So there was a previous generation listening to the commandments, and now Moses is giving these to the next generation, and he's saying, the Lord our God made a covenant with us at Mount Horeb, not with our ancestors, but with us. It's as if Moses is bridging generations and saying, this word is for you here today. And so the same goes for us as we hear these commandments, as we're in the series, this bridges years. This word is for us to honor our father and mother. And he's saying that in this first four commandments, if you look at these, they all relate to our relationship to God. The last six relate to our relationships with one another. And so it's as if one is dependent on both, right? In order to have right relationships with one another, we need to have a right relationship with God. So we have a right relationship with God, we have a right relationship with one another. And comes this command, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, so that it might go well with you. So I don't know if your parents are still living or if they have passed away. I have been thinking about my parents this week, actually. And it's a bummer. My dad is turning 70 on Tuesday, and we were supposed to go just outside of Vegas and meet him and meet up with my parents, but obviously that's canceled. So I've been thinking about, how do I honor my father and my mother right now in this time? And, you know, I'm thinking of my dad, and I'm thinking of, you know, I am 7 or 8 years old, and we are in the back, you know, the blacktop of our driveway, and we're playing basketball, and I am in way too short of athletic shorts at this time. He is as well. Those have come back in style, but the socks are high. We're playing basketball, and my dad doesn't let me win a game. And so I end up crying and running up to this beautiful magnolia tree, and my compassionate mother comes out, and she says, Bill, why don't you ever let Joel win a game? And, you know, my dad apparently kept this going because when I was in high school, my basketball skills didn't get any better. We literally lost every game of the season except for one game. And I remember my dad being there and driving me home as I'm the team captain. And my, you know, our coaches have all this drama. Coaches are leaving. My friends are quitting the team. And my dad is just saying, stick with it. Be an example. Be a leader. And he is there the entire time. He is unmistakably there. And I love that about my dad. I think of my mom when I was 17 years old, and for some reason I had this crush on this girl in high school, and she was plain mean. I mean, she was a mean girl, not my wife, thankfully. But she was so mean, and I was heartbroken, and I remember her listening to me and showing me just the deepest empathy that just reached into the innermost part of my soul at that time. She is the one who sends me scripture verses, daily encouragement that I treasure, and how I can love them, how I can honor them now as I am getting older, as they are getting older. This is something I'm thinking about, how important this structure of the family is. And here in Deuteronomy, it is similar. The structure of the family was so important to Israel and to God's people. But there's this interesting discovery that I made about this passage that relates to us right now. And that is, if we look at these two commandments side by side, if we look at the Sabbath commandment and we look at the commandment to honor our father and mother, these commandments, out of all of these 10, are the only ones that are stated in the positive, not as a prohibition, but as a positive. And so it gets us thinking about our biological parents, but I want to say that it also gets us thinking about our spiritual fathers and mothers of the faith. So the Sabbath is this reminder of our identity as the people of God, and it was this reminder to Israel that for one day, economic production ceases, and that we are more than what we produce. We have intrinsic value as humans over and above anything we can produce. So if you hold that here, and then you hold the commandment to love, to honor our father and mother. And so you could say, as Walter Brueggemann, a theologian, says this, when you hold these side by side, you then look at those in this community of Israel called to honor their father and mother. This isn't necessarily children honoring their fathers and mothers, as important as that is, but that's us. That's teens, young adults, boomers, those who are aged, those who are older, honoring their aging mothers and fathers. When at that time, those who are our parents who are not economically productive or have value in the workforce, they still have intrinsic value and human worth. And so our biological parents have this worth, and those in our faith family right now, those who are aging, those who are elderly, those who are our fathers and mothers in the faith, have that value and that worth right now. And so today, in this time of the coronavirus, I have been thinking and I have been concerned and just having the heart of, I think, our Heavenly Father, that those in our community right now who are aging need our special honor and our special care and attention. So those who may feel vulnerable, those outside our doors who may feel vulnerable, these are the people right now as the church that we give special attention to. And so we need to be looking around. We need to be thinking of the people in our church, our spiritual fathers and mothers right now. And we need to be picking up the phone and we need to give them a call. And we need to get creative about how we will love and serve those who are vulnerable in our midst. And it may be taking Courtney's advice and dropping off groceries and working out some creative system to do this. I don't know what all that looks like, but I know that we need to be creative, we need to be imaginative, and we need to be inspired to love and serve and honor our spiritual mothers and fathers right now. So remember, church, that these are gospel moments that we're living in. We can spread love, not fear, nor the virus. We can awaken to this gospel opportunity right now. And I want to challenge you and encourage you. Let's be strong and courageous. Let's be creative in how we are looking beyond our own self-preservation and loving and serving those around us. Let's be prayerfully dependent on God in this time. And let's be reaching out, calling, giving connection to our spiritual fathers and mothers in the faith right now. This will take the whole church right now. This will not just be our pastoral staff or our deacons or elders. This will be our whole church. First Presbyterian Church, let's awaken to this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.